This is episode 15 of the Business of Making podcast. The juggle, business and job, and maybe kids too.
Do you want to make it as a maker? This is the Business of Making podcast with your hosts, Michaela Denvers, Deb Engelmeyer, and Jess Van Den.
We know from experience that growing a handmade business is bloody hard work. We're here to make it a little bit easier for you by dishing out reality-based, no BS, tried and tested advice on how to make your business work.
Tune in every week for an honest conversation on what it really takes to make a creative business a success.
Hey Maker, are you loving the Business of Making podcast? We're loving bringing it to you, but we really need your support to make sure that this show keeps going into the future. You can support us by becoming one of our patrons on Patreon for as little as a dollar a month. We have a few different membership levels. You can get things like behind the scenes and extra special content, a link to your business from our website, and even maybe a shout out on the show and more. Just head on over to thebusinessofmaking.com/support and you can get all the information there about how you can become one of our Maker Mavens insiders and help this show to grow and flourish going forward.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Business of Making. I'm here with Jess.
Hello.
And Deb.
Hello.
I'll have to remember to mix that up sometimes because I'm pretty sure I always do Jess first and always do Deb second.
Oh, boo. But
that's just how you appear on my screen when I'm looking at you. So.
Order.
I like going clockwise. So today we're going to be talking about balance and sort of juggling your business, whether it be sort of a casual or a more working towards full-time but with employment as well, and how you do that or how we have done that, and yeah, just having a chat about it. So to start off, I guess we've covered this before a little bit, but Jess, if you want to quickly go over how you basically didn't do that, dove straight in full time, we'll start then.
Well, I was running my business for about 14 months while I still had a job, but it was a total hobby. Like it was, I was not really trying to be a full-time jeweler. That was never my aim. It was just, hey, I'm enjoying this craft. And I got obsessed with like business and was really interested in it, was learning about it. And honestly, it's like, okay, so totally random segue. I hate puzzles, right? I hate puzzles.
Okay.
Because when you're doing a puzzle and solving a problem, what's the point? Like you solve the problem. Okay. However, I like puzzles in real life that have real world consequences, i.e. if I figure this thing out, I'll make more money. Like that's motivating, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. So I love that sort of thing. And that gets me, and it gets me interested and gets me focused. So I was working full time. Now, to be fair, my full time job at the time was crazy ads. My hours were 1 p.m. to 8 p.m. and I worked 5 days a week. I had all the school holidays off. Because I worked for a tuition center, so and I had, you know, I had a partner at home who was doing pretty much all the domestic stuff, so I had a lot of spare time, and that's kind of how this all happened. So for me, the juggle at that stage, it wasn't really a juggle at all, because I would get up in the morning. I was living near the beach at the time. I'd like go for a walk or a swim, and then I would, you know, maybe make some stuff, maybe work on my blog. So I had that morning period. And then when I came home at night, I would probably get online again and do a little bit more stuff. So for me at the time, it was kind of my bait. It was kind of my hobby and my obsession. So it's what I did outside of work. And my job was very much go to work, do it, come home. So I was lucky in that way. And then when it turned full time, accidentally, when that happened, and if you haven't heard that story, go back and listen to episode 0 because I go into all the details, but I literally had nothing else to do but work on my business at that stage. And that, you know, it was, I burnt out and blah, blah, all bad stuff happened. But the positive side of that is that my business grew very quickly because I really spent so much time on it. Mm. And just talking about this whole balance thing, I think sometimes people see someone like me from the outside and they're like, oh my God, like you're, they say, you must never sleep. You do so much. And I'm like, yeah, your business grew so fast. Yes, because I literally worked on it like from when I woke up to when I went to sleep for like a year. And I don't advise that. I don't think it's necessarily the healthiest way to do things, but you know, and I, like I said, I had a partner who was doing, you know, the cooking and the cleaning and shopping and all of that sort of stuff. So I was incredibly fortunate to be in the position I was in. So, you know, for me, I've actually come up against this issue later in my career when I started running multiple businesses, but we'll come back to that.
I think you've brought up a really good point there, and it's just touches on comparison a little bit. Like if people who are just starting out compare themselves to where you are and how quickly you grew, as many, many people do compare themselves to other people, you know, their competitors and how quickly they grow. You don't know the full story ever. And we go over this a lot, but it just shows that you can't play that comparison game because you just don't know what that person sacrificed or was fortunate to have in their situation that, you know, helped them to grow that quickly or whatever the case may be that you're comparing yourself to. So, yeah, that's a good little point.
Yeah, I think it's important that you don't have expectation of growing really quickly when really you can only work, say, a full day and not in a block. Like it might be 2 hours here, 2 hours there on your business over the week because you're working full time somewhere else. And then there's work, but there's also transport to work and just stuff like you were saying, groceries and all of that. And you might get more, you might need help or get help from on that side. Mm-hmm. So we're all different and we all have different, you know, circumstances. But, you know, I think that thing of expectation is really, really important because I think that often when people say, how can I make it happen when I'm working full time? They really mean, how could I make as much happen as someone that isn't working full time on something else? And the answer to that is you cannot.
Yep.
And you have to, you know, to accept that it's going to take a little bit longer and it's fine because that's your situation. That's how you're going to actually make it happen in the end.
Yeah, totally. And I just come up against not come up against. I meet a lot of people who are in that situation. I don't come up against them. We're not in an argument or a fight. Not aggressive, I promise. But yeah, they sort of they're in a rush. They are treating growing their business as a race. And even a couple of my students now are, you know, they're looking ahead and they're doing their vision and their goal setting and stuff. And they're like, well, I want to replace my income in 3 months. And I'm just like, well, that's not going to happen, I'm afraid. It would be a miracle if that was what to happen. So, one of my favorite things to say is just, it's not a race. If you want to be good and have a good business, it's going to take a good amount of time. Like it's
not
going to be quick generally.
Mm. Yeah. So Mick, I'm curious, I think out of the three of us, you are probably the one with the most balancing issues right now because you have a business, you have a job and you have kids.
Yeah. Also I was just saying to you guys before, I complicate things all the time. I definitely like do all my research and learn things and go, yeah, I'm going to work my business as if I was 10 years into it and making $1 million already. I'm going to complicate it that much. So that just adds another layer to the complexity of the juggle is it's a mindset thing. I need to strip it back and realize, okay, well, I can only do what I can do and I'm not actually at that level to do all that other crazy stuff at the moment anyhow. So it is a juggle. I'm sort of in the same, not similar position to what you were, Jess, in that my employment by choice is very flexible. So I don't work in a 9-to-5. I haven't worked in a 9-to-5 for I don't even know how long, like a long time. When I finished uni, I went into a 9-to-5 teaching job and I think I was in that sort of full-time for maybe 2 years before I cut it back to part-time by choice. And I knew because at that point I was working on my jewelry business, I wanted to do that. Like I knew I wanted to do my jewelry business and I knew it would take time. And this was before kids. So like I was crazy because I thought I had no time. I had all the time in the world. But yeah, so I made that conscious decision to cut back because at the end of the day, you know, you do only have 24 hours if you don't sleep. I do like to sleep. So I knew that I would need daylight hours to work on my business. And I think that's probably, I don't know, like what do you guys reckon? It's kind of like that point where someone really gets serious about their business is when they can step back from their job in some capacity. So mm-hmm. I sort of feel like if someone's working full time and they're trying to build this sort of side hustle, side business, whatever you want to call it, and they're not willing to step away from their full time job in any way, that's when you have this like tension. And it's just so difficult. But when they make that conscious choice to go, okay, well, I'm going to try this. Like maybe you take leave for a month, like unpaid leave or cut down your hours, like investigate something. Like what can you do? Where can you make that space? That's, I think, is such an important shift in the mindset of someone who's trying to grow their business, where they're going, okay, well, my business actually is a priority and I do need to put time into that, which means taking time away from
something else.
Yeah, something else. We'll talk about the kids bit in a minute, but you guys tell me what you think of that.
Yeah, no, it's not true. I was thinking about that back when I was working a billion different jobs, and I didn't have the 9 to 5 as well. So there was a bit more flexibility, but at the same time, I wasn't really picking my hours. I was mostly doing like hospitality work. And so it was more like my shifts would change without really me deciding what time I was going to work. But sometimes I had to be up at 6 because it was like a barista thing. And then others, it was like a nighttime thing because I was in a bar, or sometimes the barista thing would start at 10 a.m. So I just had to be really flexible in terms of like, okay, well, where can I fit in 2 hours tomorrow to work on this? Mm-hmm. And so there was definitely sacrifices. I think that's a key word too. It's like you have to let go of some things if you do want to, you know, you're not going to have an amazing social life plus a great 9 to 5 job plus work on your business. Like something's going to have to give. And in my case, it was probably the social aspect. Like not saying that certainly I didn't have friends and I didn't do anything, but it was definitely like I was getting up, going to work, and then coming back and working on my business until I was so tired I needed to go to bed. Mm. And mostly because I liked it. It's not like it sounds like it was hectic and like, oh my God, like that sounds dramatic, but I actually really enjoyed it. I think it's like you, Jess, I was really enjoying it. So it wasn't really a problem. And so when people are like, oh, you grew really quickly, it's because I was actually working so much to a point where, just like you, Jess, by the end of it, I was just like, I need a really big break because now I'm completely burnt out. So not necessarily the best way to go.
But it's so addictive. Like when you really enjoy it, when you really enjoy what you do, you just want to keep, that's what you want to be doing with your time.
Yeah. And before kids, I was exactly the same, honestly. Like I'd be staying up really late making stuff. Like it was just so fun. And I really enjoyed that problem solving aspect of the business as well. So you enjoy it. And people are like, oh, you're so busy. And we're all like, yes, we're so busy, but we love it. So
Yeah, like on holiday, do you like think about business and like great ideas come at you because you're meant to relax, but then that's when you think about like your next thing that you're going to do when you're not on holidays anymore. Like I actually can't turn my brain off from work, which is really a struggle. I'm trying to find like this hobby that I can take with me like on holiday so that I can actually do, like, you know, I read books, so that's a good thing. But then after 2 hours during the day reading a book, you're like, okay, what's next?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm trying to pick up photography at the moment, which we will see.
That's good.
But just got a camera and I'm trying to get into it because I think it would be a nice thing to get obsessive about.
Yeah.
Rather than just work all the time, because it's really hard to, you end up working all the time, even when you're not at work, you're like in your brain, like taking notes on your phone of like this great idea you just had and never stops.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point with the balance too. It's not just balancing your, you know, if you have a job with your business, it's balancing your life with your business. And all three of us just said that we would, you know, work 24/7 and then you do burn out and you really have to have that downtime, not only because it's important for your, you know, whole self to develop as a whole human being, but also because you need that downtime for new ideas, because you're not ever going to have new ideas and insight and bolts of inspiration if you're just working 24/7 all the time.
Yeah. So I've gone past that now. Like I don't do that anymore and I haven't for a number of years. And it was really hard to make this shift because, when you are thinking about something and you're loving it, that's what you want to do with your time. But I had to find other things that captured my attention to distract me. Like reading novels is like the one thing that's guaranteed to capture my attention. That's why my Kindle Unlimited subscription is like the best investment I think I've ever had in my mental health, because I just blow through books like crazy. Like every evening I'm reading a novel, because if I wasn't, my brain would just be like, la, 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 and probably yeah. working. And when I'm on holiday, same sort of thing, like I have that and I'm going out and doing stuff. But you never really leave it behind. Like as we record this, I'm just coming off a digital sabbatical, which I do twice a year. So for a week, I go offline completely. And generally speaking, one of them, because I do the two, one of them is usually a creative one. So I deliberately, like, I don't read novels and I actually just literally make space for my brain to come up with stuff. And I actively work on my life and my business and think about what I want to do. And the most recent one was just, this is a holiday. I have no rules of what I have to do with my time, except I can't be online. And I can't be working. So it was really nice to have a proper holiday. But still, of course, I came up with like this whole new system for how I want to like do run my life, like these projects, and how I want to do like these reviews every 8 quarters and all this stuff. So, you know.
But right. That's what I was just saying. Like, you wouldn't be able to have those cool ideas if you were just in it, in the trenches, like all the time, all the time, all the time.
You gotta make space for it.
Create that space. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So for those of you who are super busy all the time, you might feel like you can never create that space, but you really should, even if it's something like a weekend every 6 months to yourself, where you go literally book yourself in a hotel, leave everybody behind and just relax and think and dream, and amazing stuff comes out of that.
It's funny because I think like we started as in, how do you manage to fit stuff in your weekly, you know, routine when you're so busy with your job? And now we're like, you know, you need time off, like when you go on holidays, and they're probably listening going, I don't take holidays, I need help. Like, but something I remember that, you know, was a big turning point for me in terms of when I was working different jobs and trying to grow TZ on the side, or actually it was still a freelance business back then, or anyway. Something that really worked was I realized this a certain, like, there's stuff you can do in half hour. There's stuff that you will need 4 hours for, because you can't do it in 8 times half hour. Like, it's not, you know, because every time you start a half hour thing, it takes time for you to get back into it and to start, you know, you're like, okay, where did I stop, and where, like, get into it again. So I realized I needed to have this one block of time, and I've never changed that since then. During the week, and I think at the time it ended up being on the weekend for me, simply because I was working too much the rest of the time. So whenever it is, it might be on the weekend, it might be in the middle of the week, depending on your situation, but I'd like, you know, I say at least 2 hours and possibly four. I like four is a block of hours that's like nothing else matters. Like, it doesn't matter if the kid needs to be picked up because you've organized it with someone else. It doesn't matter if, you know, like no shift is coming on that. If you, like for me, I was hospitality. I was like, I can't work, you know, Saturday morning, or I can't work Monday afternoon because that's my time. Mm-hmm. And so this was a time where I would close the door, and Nick, my partner, knew, like, wouldn't come in and talk to me, because that was my, I don't know, my really productive time, I guess. And this is a time where I was getting much more done, because I had 4 hours in a row to focus on some big project. So that was important. So if you can find that time, and I know I'm not saying it's super easy, but sometimes it's going to be from 6 to 10 on a Saturday morning. Like, seriously, it's what it takes, you know?
Yeah.
Go for it, Jess.
I was going to say, that is brilliant. And also, I think just something that's come out of that, so many people, especially women, have extreme problems putting themselves first. Right. So saying, this is my, if you've got family, friends, kids, a job, whatever it is, if you're the sort of person who always lets go of your own wishes in lieu of someone else's, you need to stop that. Because if you're constantly putting everybody else first, you'll never make progress. You need to decide on that time and guard it. Like, imagine you've got Cerberus, you know, the dog from hell with three heads at your door, keeping everybody away. And they, you know, don't be nice to people. Like, if
you have to say no. Like, no, I cannot cook those cookies for my daughter best friend party on Saturday. I don't have time. No, you know, go and buy them at whatever store and own it. You know, seriously, you can't perform on all levels. You have to say no to make room for that stuff, for sure.
And if you can't do it at home, and obviously, if it's the making stuff will have to happen where that has to happen, because, you know, you have to be at home to do that. But the business stuff, you can do it anywhere. So if people in your home aren't respecting that time, go somewhere else. Leave them behind and go to the library, or go to a co-working space, or go I don't know, cafe, whatever. Mm. I can't work in cafes, but each to their own, and go somewhere else for that period of time and do the work. Mm. And you have to train the people around you how to treat you. And I think we've probably all experienced this where, like, when I first was running my business, we lived on the same property as my parents, and my mum would just wander up at random times of the day,
yeah,
and expect me to just drop everything and have a chat. And I'm like, no, I can't. I'm working. I'm working. Yeah. Imagine I'm at a job somewhere else and you can't just, if I was at a school teaching, you wouldn't just walk into my classroom and go, hey, let's sit down and have a coffee and have a chat, right? So it's exactly the same thing. This is work. It's not a fun little hobby. It's not something that is less important than your thing. It's really important, and you need to make it that way. And I know that some people, like, I have friends who always say, yeah, Jess, but it's easy for you. It's easy. You have this forceful sort of personality. It's easy for you to say no to people. And I'm like, yeah, I guess so, but.
Well, not really. It's practice. It's sort of
practice. Yeah. Exactly. That's what I was getting. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Like, I don't know if I'd call myself a people pleaser, but I don't like displeasing people.
No, neither do I.
So, it's sometimes hard to go, well, no, but I've practiced over the last couple of years. I'm really good at it now. Like, my time is, I hate this word, but my time is sacred to me. And it's like, if people just ask to go for a coffee, even if they're like acquaintances, there's a list of three people that I'll say yes to. And everyone else is like, no, sorry, I got no time. And it's not because I don't like you. It's because I need to sit down and do what I need to do, or spend time with my kids, or, you know.
It's
priority. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And it gets easier the more you say no, because then people start asking you for stuff too. Because they're like, well, she always says no, so I'm not going to ask her. Great.
Or they only ask you when they really need it. It's not just an off the cuff thing. Like, I've heard so many stories from my students, like, especially mothers, who are like, oh, my husband won't leave me. You know, he'll come and ask me to do something, or the kids will come and ask me to do something. I'm like, well, do you do it? And they're like, well, yeah. And I'm like, well, no. Like, does it have to be done right this second? Or is it because they want something done and therefore you're putting it last? And I obviously understand, as a parent, you need to take care of your children, but there's taking care of them and then there's giving into their whims, and that's not the same.
Also, it's about setting the structures in the first place. So depending on the age of the kids, like, if they're very young compared to toddler, compared to school age, like, it's very different in each stage, but setting the structure of the week. So if you have the kids home with you full time, 100%, that's going to be very difficult, because especially if they're young, they're needy. They'll come and they'll hang off your arm for an hour. my second born, Harriet, went through a phase of about a year and a half of doing that. I would be at home and she would just bother me the whole time, and it would be really, really hard to get anything done. My husband, when he was home, she behaved for him like way more.
Oh God, so annoying.
Yeah. So, but she's great now. So she'll go and play by herself now for a good, you know, hour or so. And then I'll give her, you know, 15 minutes undivided attention, and then she'll go and play again. So it's much better now, but it was extremely difficult, like so, so, so hard. And so what I say to people is, you need to work into that structure of the week some alone time. So if you can't, hopefully you can put them in daycare. If you can't do that, if you can't afford that, think of something that you can do. Maybe you know someone with a kid the same age. Maybe that parent can have them for half a day and then you have their kid for half a day. You know, there's always something that you can work out. You just have to, like, look beyond those difficulties and figure out what that is, to put the structure in place, to give yourself that alone time to do work. And then the trick is to not do housework in that time, and not be letting you work other shit that doesn't, like, relate to your business at all. Because you're carving out this time specifically for this thing that you want to do, your business admin or making or whatever it is. You have to be disciplined and do it at that time.
Mm. And this is when you have those important family conversations as well, where mommy or daddy, because we might be talking to male. We always seem to assume we're talking to females, but maybe there's a few dads there. This is important to me, and this is what, if this is not just a hobby, I'm serious about growing this thing. And I want, as a family, to, like, carve out a few hours where, you know, this is a time where I work. And so this needs to be organized differently on that day. And it's important because it also you know, it's not just about getting that time from that conversation, but also like a mindset thing, which is like, okay, now the entire family knows this is serious. And it gives you this sort of like mindset shift as well.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think so often it's, you know, a lot of people tend to not blame, but, you know, they have a hard situation with their significant other or other members of their family. But a lot of the time it's their own mindset that needs work as well, because they're not treating it as a business. They're treating it as a hobby. So, of course, everyone around them is going to do the same thing. So, yeah, sometimes we need to flip that in our own heads as well.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. I was going to mention the whole partner thing, because I know, you know, some people are very lucky and have supportive partners like we all do, but some people are not. And in that instance, again, part of me just wants to say, why are you with someone if they're not supportive? Sorry to say that, but, you know.
I find it really difficult to speak to that issue, because I don't have any skills or experience of how you would deal with that. And, that would be really hard.
No, it would be. Like, I have the most supportive husband in the whole freaking world. So, yeah, I'm the same. I can't even imagine what it would be like to be pushing against intimate, you know, someone, the person who's closest to you, not taking you seriously. And that perhaps speaks to bigger issues than what we can cover in this.
Exactly. It's not really a business issue then. It's maybe a relationship you need to.
Yeah. If that person loves you and cares for you, then they should be willing to work with you. And you need to tell them, like, actually, as you were saying, have that conversation. So another thing I want to just mention is a couple of strategies, because I think it's helpful to leave people with that. Deb had a really good one earlier with the block of time. So chunking, setting aside blocks of time. One that I always talk about is something called dead time or pocket time. And that's those times where you're kind of stuck doing something, but your brain is free. So, for example, waiting in the school pickup, you're standing in a queue. You're someone I worked with, she was an ambulance driver, as in patient transport, and she had a partner. So sometimes they would go for these hour-long journeys to pick people up, and obviously only one of them is driving. And she's like, I'm just sitting in the passenger seat for hours. I could be doing stuff. Like, I could be doing Instagram or marketing or whatever. And that's the example of that sort of time. So you probably have those times commuting, you know, if you commute on public transport, especially, because then you can actually do stuff. Think about those times and actually come up with a list of jobs that you can do in that time and then do those jobs in that time, because that will free you up when you're actually at home and have, you know, need to do more deep work to do that then.
Just touching on that, I can't remember for the life of me where I got this idea, but it might be a well-known thing. Who knows? I definitely didn't make it up. Dividing your task list into time frames. So especially...
Oh, that's what I was going to say. I talk about that all the time.
So like 10-minute tasks.
Maybe it was me, but I don't think I've made that up. Maybe I took it from some... But I talk about it in a lot of videos.
I don't think I heard you, Deb, but maybe.
I actually was scripting a video yesterday about that. That's hilarious. Oh, yeah, because I love this thing.
Talk to it then. Go, tell
us. No, go.
Oh, well, I was just saying 10-minute tasks, half-hour tasks, hour tasks, half day, full day. So then if you – and also being realistic about what you can fit into those time frames. Mm. But if you only have half an hour, you can do three of those 10-minute tasks or one half-hour task.
And so that's really nice important part.
Lift it out. Yeah.
Because there's the chunking, like, okay, these are 3 hours that I have where you might be needing to do some deeper project, like you're redesigning your site or whatever, something that takes time. But then there's all those like half hour between the moment you got back from work and the moment you need to go and pick up your daughter, whatever. You know, like there's those like short time frames where you're like, okay, I have 45 minutes. What do I do for work? And then it takes you 35 minutes to like look at your to-do list, figure out what you're going to do, log into whatever you need to log into. And then it's like time to put your shoes on and go. And so you've lost that time. Whereas if you have a to-do list that's like as divided as possible, so like as many subtasks as possible. So instead of like, you know, setting up my Etsy shop, it's like step one, design banner, step two, write product description for this product. And each of them is of like a 10-minute thing, then you know that you can, oh, I can write 3 product description in this 45 minute. That's what I'm going to do now. And you don't have to think and take time to think about, okay, what do I dive in? So it saves you that sort of time. And it does mean that you have to, probably during one of your chunking time, you have to sit down and break down your to-do list into really, really small tasks to do that. but it's really worth it. And sometimes they're going to be off too. Like sometimes you're like, this is going to take half hour and it takes like 2 days and you're like, okay, well, that didn't work out.
Oh man, we've all been there.
That's normal. Yeah, that's just normal. Just do your best.
I like to say, estimate how long it's going to take you and double it.
Yeah, yep. For sure.
And mm-hmm. then if you have that much time, great. And if you don't need it, you can do something else. So
yeah. I love photography, I'll say times four. That's a difficult one.
I think, I guess if I were listening to this episode, my top takeaway or Michaela's top tip, I don't know.
Mick's top tip
for the week. would be to focus. Mm. So when you're doing that chunking, you do one thing at a time, which I'm terrible at. And
multitasking is the devil.
Oh, it's not even, it should not be a thing. Like no, you invented this bullshit. Anyway, if you are like me and have 22 tabs open in your browser window, you have a problem and you need to deal with that.
Is there like groups of people that meet up and talk about it? Like, I have a problem with multiple tabs opening. I have the problem too.
We all have.
But that makes me think, Mick, about something else. It's related, but kind of not exactly that. But it's like you need to focus on what's going to make you move forward the most. Yes, so I know you're coming up with. Or it's probably out by the time this goes out. But I know you've been working on this like maker's audit tool. Mm-hmm. I've got my roadmap. I'm sure Jess has her own system, which is pretty much us organizing information in a way that helps people go, for this stage of business, these are the things that matter and that I should be working on. Mm-hmm. So if you're at the very early stages of your business, you barely have a shop up, you only have 2.5 product ready, for you to spend 10 hours Googling how to make Instagram stories work for you, like, you know, it's waste of time.
Yeah.
Complete waste of time. That's really a precious thing because you're working or have kids or whatever. So it's really a matter of like really focusing on, okay, what's important right now to move to that next step rather than doing that like squirrel thing, like, you know, oh, squirrel, like I'm going to go and work on this because it sounds more fun. Like
I still do, you know.
Yeah, we all do. And you're never going to
do this. And I still, it's like, so I think that's something too is it's always a work in progress. Everything you do in business is always a work in progress. You're never going to be done. But the more you practice doing it, as we were saying before, like saying no, you practice doing it. Sometimes it's going to still be hard later, but you just keep practicing doing it and practicing focusing. I'm sure that's too many ing words, but anyway. And
practice focusing
and practice chunking and practice scheduling your time more efficiently and also in terms of your priorities. Like you just have to keep working on that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And be realistic. Let's if we circle back right to the beginning, just be realistic with yourself about how long it's going to take, what your goals are, like what's your why, what's your goals for this business? What's your end game? Like, are you, because I know some people just want a part-time thing on the side and that's fine. But some people, you know, if your goal is to go full-time, then you need to do it the right way so that you set everything up at the beginning properly and grow from there. You know, get the product development, done, you know, learn product photography, learn SEO, like all of those sorts of things. And they take time and you just can't rush those things. You have to invest the time, learn the things you need to learn. And that will be worthwhile in the long run because it will help you down the line when you've done all that learning and you know how to do all that stuff. And let's be honest, you probably in 5 years' time will need to relearn it all because it'll change. But whatever, you'll get into that habit of learning and you'll have a solid foundation.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I just wanted to mention one last thing before we wrap up about being a parent and parent guilt, which is a real thing. And I'm generally not very susceptible to it. but even being on that sort of end of the spectrum, I do still get it. And it's that, you know, your kids are around and you're working and you feel guilty that you're not spending time with them, or you're spending time with them and you feel guilty you're not working on your business. So it's
beautiful.
Yeah, really, really good. One thing that I did, I can't remember where I sort of heard this or read it, or I was speaking to someone, they grew up with their parents working from home and they just said how much they liked that because their parents were there when they needed them, but they also sort of learnt hard work, like what hard work looks like, and working towards something. So I guess if you are feeling that guilt a little bit, if your kids are at home and you're kind of not spending, you know, 8 hours a day canoodling. Can you say that about kids? Not really. Snuggling, whatever. Anyway. You know, spending time, quality time with them. Just thinking about the time that you're in perhaps the same room or even the next room, it is quality time even if you're not face-to-face with them, because they are seeing you work hard and they're seeing you work towards something and they're learning, you know, that you're a good worker person. I've lost my words, but, you know, so it's, yeah, like thinking about your mindset around that is just try not to feel too guilty either way. Like it's just a thing that always happens, but do you guys know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's really lovely. I think, you know, you're teaching them a good work ethic and they'll, the old say what I do as I say, not as I do. I hate that. And you're not doing that. You know, you're actually showing them that to be responsible and to get ahead in life and to make the things that they want to happen, they have to put in the time and they have to make the sacrifices. And I think that's a really, really valuable life lesson that will only benefit them as they grow up.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, well, I think that about wraps up the episode for this week of the Business of Making podcast. Thank you so, so, so much for everyone listening in. We really appreciate you and your ears and your time. And we also appreciate your thoughts. So if you could jump on over to Apple Podcasts or our Facebook group or page, leave us a review. That would be really, really awesome. It lets us know what you like about the podcast. It helps other people find us if you rate and review. And also, we'd love to know what your juggle is. If you want to jump into the Facebook group and just post in there about what you're juggling at the moment. Do you have a part-time, full-time job? Do you have kids? Do you have other commitments? We'd love to know your story and how you deal with that. So thank you so much again, and we will see you next week, or even you'll hear us because we don't see you over there anyway.
We see each other, but yeah.
We see each other. I'll see you, Jess and Deb. You'll hear us next week with another great episode. So thanks again and bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Can't finish that sentence.
Circumstances?
Yeah, circumstances. That's the word. Yes.
I really applaud it.
All right, that's me. I'm ending the episode.
Yeah. We're just making funny faces that are like, hello.
We're both like nodding our heads like,
yeah, good. Nodding. Everyone's nodding. Awesome.